Well, let's dive into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Acts chapter 16. It was little over a year ago that we started a series titled The Force Awakens. A series that's been walking us through the book of Acts, just, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And a year later, after starting this series, we're just over halfway through the book of Acts. Now, part of the reason that we're just to chapter 16 is because we did take a little break from the series at the end of November. And that's because in December, we walked through our Christmas series. The Lord had put Christmas series on my heart, and so we took a little break from that and had planned to kind of jump back in January. But in January, we had all sorts of, you know, we had crazy weather. We canceled services. I was sick, you know. My wife had to just show up that day and make things happen, if you remember that. And so things were kind of crazy. And so January, we just kind of kept doing other things. And so it's been almost 2 months since we've been in Acts. And because of that, I figured I should probably give us a little reminder of what we've been through so far over this past year, but also kind of where we left off in November. And so if you remember, it all started with Jesus kind of saying goodbye to the disciples as he ascended back into heaven to be with the Father, right? We remember that's the very start of Acts. But before he left, he gave the disciples some instructions, some directions. He says, go back to Jerusalem, wait for the gift that the Father would give them. And we know that that gift was the Holy Spirit. And we know that this Holy Spirit, as Jesus told them, it would empower them. It would give them the power to go into all the world and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what they did. They went back and they waited. And the Holy Spirit, in Acts 2, we saw, came upon them. And this amazing power, this amazing force, awoken in them, right? And that's where we kind of got the title of this series, the fact that this force awoken inside of them, the force awakens. And we see this great boldness in them to go and to share the gospel. And so then in the midst of all this boldness, as they begin to share the gospel, what happens? They begin to face persecution, right? If you remember, they were threatened to stop speaking the name of Jesus, and they were imprisoned because of that, and they told them that they would face challenges if they didn't stop speaking the name of Jesus. But that didn't stop them, did it? They kept sharing the truth of who Jesus Christ was despite the persecution. And then you may remember that they experienced the death of Stephen, right? The first Christian martyr. The first one who was actually killed for following Jesus, for standing up for Jesus. And the man behind this murder was a man named Saul. And if you remember, Saul began to hunt down Christians. He began to look for Christians. He was going everywhere to imprison them, to hunt them down, to persecute them. And for the first time, because of the persecution, because of people fleeing from Paul and from all that was happening, we saw the gospel being taken beyond Jerusalem. We saw the gospel being taken to the world. And then if you remember, an amazing thing happened. Something that no one would have ever expected. Something that some people didn't really believe was true at first. But this man Saul, who was persecuting and killing Christians, was encountered by God. And his life was changed, right? And instead of persecuting Christians, he began to partner with them, to share the gospel. And then in the midst of the gospel spreading, another miraculous thing happened. We see this man, Cornelius, come to know Jesus. And it was important because he was the first Gentile to become a follower of Jesus. Before then, it was just Jews that were being converted into Christians. And Cornelius was the first Gentile to become a follower of Jesus. And no longer was Jesus just for the Jews. He was now for all people. And as the church began to realize God's desire to save all people, both Jews and Gentiles, we see Paul and Barnabas then commissioned as the first missionaries that were sent out to plant churches and to start churches all throughout the world. And so that's what they do, and the gospel is now spreading farther and farther, and more people are becoming followers of Jesus. And this is kind of now where we are picking back up here in Acts 16. We're jumping back into our series and looking here at the beginning of 16, where this man we once knew as Saul, who was persecuting Christians, is now known as Paul. And in these scriptures, he demonstrates what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We see in these scriptures him living out this life of a follower of Jesus as he continues to go into all the world and share the truth of Jesus Christ. And so, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to pick up here in Acts 16 and read verses 1 through 10. This is what it says. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, the fact is, there are many people in this world that call themselves Christians. There's a lot, especially throughout our nation. There's a lot of people out there that say, I am a Christian. And the interesting thing is that when we look at the many people, the many different people who call themselves Christians, we see a wide variety of lifestyles and living. Some caught up in religion, right, or legalism. We see a lot of those people, you know, that are caught up in religious things and in legalism. And then we see that are some that are completely opposite. These people that are living frivolous lives, kind of just hoping that the grace of God covers that lifestyle that they live. But then there are those who are seeking a personal relationship with the Lord, and they're doing their best to follow Jesus. And I believe that was Paul. That's Paul in these scriptures. Now, Paul wasn't perfect, you know. One of the last things we talked about was the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, right? He wasn't perfect, but he was seeking to do the will of the Lord. He was seeking to love the Lord and to follow Him with all of his heart. And we see this in these scriptures. We see the follower of Jesus that Paul was here, just in these first 10 verses. And in these scriptures this morning, I want to talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, this isn't an extensive list of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but when we look at Paul in this section of Scriptures, there's some things that we can learn about being a follower of Jesus, because I believe Paul demonstrates some of these things in this Scripture that we can learn from him. And so the first thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Followers of Jesus help make disciples. Followers of Jesus help make disciples. If we are a follower of Jesus, we should be seeking to grow in the Lord, to grow in Him, to be stronger in Him, and then to help others grow in Him as well. That's what Paul is doing here at the beginning of this chapter. He's taking Timothy, this man Timothy, under his wing, right? He's taking him under his wing. He's training him. He's preparing him to lead other people to the Lord. He's discipling him. Now, the fact is, Timothy knew the Lord. His mom, was Jewish. His dad was Greek, but he had learned about Jesus, and he knew the Lord. He was seeking to follow Jesus, but Paul realized that he needed someone to come alongside him. Someone that was going to help him grow and become the leader that God desired Timothy to be. Because if we look, Timothy did great things for the church, right? And it was through the discipleship of Paul that he got to that place. And the reality is we all need people like Paul in our lives. Someone who is going to help disciple us in the Lord. Someone who's going to encourage us, who's going to teach us how to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Someone that we can go to at times when we have questions. Someone that will help us kind of navigate this journey called life. Now, I have people like Paul in my life. I have older pastors that I call when I face situations, especially here in the church, when I have situations that arise or challenges that I'm not sure how to handle. I call these pastors. I ask them for their opinions. I ask them for their advice. Now, I need to seek the Lord and figure out what God wants me to do. But I have these mentors, these pastors in my life who help disciple me and help me grow. And I know I wouldn't be pastoring today if it weren't for these people in my life who discipled me and encouraged me and poured into me. We all need Pauls in our life. But the fact is, we also need Timothys in our life. As we grow in the Lord, as we grow in Him and understanding Him, we're called to make disciples ourselves. It's this process. God draws us into relationship with Him. We get discipled by others, and then we help bring others to the Lord, and we help disciple them. We're called to make disciples. We're called to share the gospel with others and to help them grow in the same way that we've grown. As Paul discipled Timothy, Timothy then begins to grow, and Timothy then begins to disciple others. And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, who are the Pauls in our life? Who are the people that are encouraging us? Who are the people that are helping us grow in the Lord? And then as we grow in Him, we have to ask ourselves, who are the Timothys in our life? Who are the people that we're reaching out to? Who are the people that we're pouring into and helping them grow in their relationship with the Lord? It's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. Because as Paul demonstrates here, followers of Jesus help make disciples. Now, the second thing I want to point out this morning that we can learn from Paul in these Scriptures is this. Followers of Jesus are team players. They're team players. You know, that's why we didn't do that today, because we prayed for the quilts this morning and the quilting team, but that's why we pray for other churches in our community each week. because it's not just about Dallas Four Square Church. We're team players. We're all on the same team working together to extend God's kingdom. And followers of Jesus should be team players. We have to realize that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we're all on the same team. Because a lot of times we don't act like it, right? Like I said, we call ourselves Christians, but we don't act like we're in this together. We're all part of the kingdom of God. And we're all going to have to live together someday in heaven and get along, right? Right? And so we're all on the same team. This is one of these themes that, if you remember, we've talked about this before over this series of Acts. It's one of those themes that we continue to see through the book of Acts. The fact that we're all on the same team, that we're all in this together. And we see Paul demonstrate this for us in verses 4 and 5. It says this, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. And if you remember, back in Acts 15, there were some disagreements between some of the believers on whether or not the newly converted Gentiles should be circumcised. Some of you may remember that, right? And so the apostles and elders of the church came together and they made a unified decision, deciding that these people don't need to go through the same things that we go through. They're Gentiles. We're Jews. We don't need to be circumcised to become Christians. And so they came to this unified decision, and Paul now, he's being a team player. He's part of the team, and he's letting churches know what was decided. He's going out and he's sharing this unified decision with everyone. And the interesting thing, because of the willingness of these churches to work together, to partner together, to be team players, we see that they were strengthened in their faith. There's something powerful that happens when we work together, when we're unified. Throughout my lifetime, I've heard numerous stories where the opposite took place. As a matter of fact, I remember being in churches where large groups of people left to start a new church, right? Because they couldn't agree over things, because of disagreements. And oftentimes, they were over petty things. The beat of the music. You know? I mean, oftentimes, the color of the chairs that were just purchased. I mean, I've heard some crazy stories of things that have caused churches to split and to break up and to go different directions. I know many of us have heard the old saying, there is no I in team, right? We've heard that. But the fact is, there are a lot of I's out there that aren't interested in team. They are interested in their own ideas, in their own agendas. And the fact is, this was never God's desire for those who seek to follow Him, who seek to be a part of His kingdom. Now, I understand that we're all different. And oftentimes, we're going to have different opinions. And that's why I think there's times where there's different churches, because there are things that are unique about us and make us different. But sometimes we have to be willing to put our differences aside to seek the Lord's will and desire for the church. That's why I love the DMA here, the Dallas Ministerial Association, the pastors. Last week we had the big Community Connect that reaches homeless people and people in our community in need and that have difficulties and challenges and things that they can come and resources that they can have. The churches of this community partner together financially to make that happen. And it's us putting down our walls and saying, yeah, we believe this. This is our doctrine. This is our doctrine. This is our doctrine. It doesn't matter. We're called to love people and to meet people's needs. And so I love that about the pastors here in Dallas, that we put those differences aside and we come together as a team to help others and to meet needs. Many of you have heard me share the quote that our Four Square denomination has adopted, which says this, in the essentials, unity. in the non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity or grace or compassion, right? This is God's desire for us as a church as a whole, the Big C Church, that we would be united in the essentials. I mean, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's about Him. We've got to believe in those things. There are the essentials. But that in the non-essentials, the beat of the music, right? Post-trib, pre-trib, I mean, there's all sorts of things out there. In the non-essentials, that we would have grace for one another. That we wouldn't allow our differences in the little things, that we wouldn't allow them to keep us from being team players and effectively seeing His kingdom extended. We know from the Scriptures that Paul was a very strong-willed person. We know that from the Scriptures. But he didn't let his will get in the way of God's will. And if he did mess up, he apologized for it and he moved forward, right? And he reminds us here in these Scriptures that followers of Jesus, they're team players working together to see the kingdom of God extended through our world. Now, the next thing I want to point out this morning that we can learn from Paul in these Scriptures is that followers of Jesus listen to the Holy Spirit. In verse 7 and 8 it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now the question is, how did they know that that's not where they were supposed to go? Well, I believe it's because they were listening. They were listening to the Holy Spirit. The reality is, so often we fail to follow Jesus because we're not listening to Him. We're not listening to His voice. We think we know where we're going, so in a sense we kind of turn off the GPS, right? We quit listening to Him, only to find out later that we're lost. That we don't know where we're at, and we're embarrassed to admit it. How did we get here? How do we wind up in this mess? Now, let me say this. The reality is, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, and when we are following Jesus, when we're following Him, we might find ourselves in some places that we don't want to be, okay? If you remember, it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the desert. It says the Holy Spirit led Him into the desert to a place where He was without food, hungry, tired, tempted by the devil. You see, there are times when the Holy Spirit may lead us into places that we don't necessarily want to be, that are scary, where we're in over our head. But the fact is, listen to this, it is much better for us to be in those challenging places where we've been led by the Holy Spirit than to be in those places that we find ourselves in because we fail to listen to the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Tracking with me? We need to be listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to be attentive. We have to have our hearing aids turned up. You know, what good are hearing aids if we turn them off, if we turn them down, if we don't change the batteries when they need to be changed, right? We have to be attentive. We have to turn up our hearing aids. Because if we're not listening, we're not going to hear the Lord say those little things. Like, get off the next exit, right? We're not going to hear that, and we're just going to keep on going. We're not going to hear, you know, recalculating. Right? Or the, you know, we're not going to hear the make a U-turn and to go to the highlighted route or whatever that says, you know, make a U-turn and head to the highlighted route or whatever. We're not going to hear those things proceed to the highlighted route. And ultimately we're going to end up lost. And we're going to end up in places that God never intended us to be. As followers of Jesus, we can't just assume that we know where God is taking us. We do that a lot. We just assume, oh yeah, that's where God wants me to go. Why? Because it looks fun, it looks awesome, it looks comfortable. Right? We can't just assume that we know where God is leading us. We need to be listening every day for His voice, because following Jesus is just that. It's following the Lord. It's following His will for our lives. It's not blazing our own trail or going down paths that He didn't call us to go down. It's not doing what we want to do. It's listening to Him and allowing Him to guide and direct our lives. Which kind of leads us to my final point today that we can learn from Paul, which is this. Followers of Jesus then obey His voice. In verse 10 it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. They received God's direction and they immediately obeyed. They didn't ponder and go, oh, is that where God wants us to go? I don't know. Seems like I heard that, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe I better go talk to 27 people until they can convince me that that's what God wants me to do. Right? They received God's direction and they immediately obeyed. When I was a little kid, I remember playing a game. I think you probably remember the game. Follow the leader, right? Most of us know that game. If not, you know, it's a simple game. You know, you line up as kids in a line and you have the first person that's the leader. And you follow the leader. Everything that he does, everybody in the line has to do, you know. If he jumps, you jump, right? If he squats down, you squat down. Whatever they do, you do. We all know the game. It's a great game. It can be a lot of fun until the leader starts doing crazy things, right? Things that you don't want to do. Like, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, the ones that would climb on top of the play structure, right? Or would start jumping from heights that you're not comfortable jumping from. Or maybe stomping in puddles, right? And you got your shoes, your mom's told you not to get dirty, right? Or rolling around in the dirt, etc. When they start to do these kind of things, it's at this time what? We usually stop playing. Why? Why do we stop playing? Mainly because it's not what I want to do. Not going to do it, right? Maybe it's just getting a little crazy. Maybe it's starting to get a little risky for us. You know, and many of our responses is, oh, that's not my thing, right? Sorry, I'm done. It's not my thing. And it's funny because I'm realizing more and more that following Jesus is a lot like the game, follow the leader. We say we're about following Jesus. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what He says. I want to live my life for Him. But when He leads us to do things that we don't want to do, or things that get a little crazy or a little too risky, when it's not our thing, we decide to stop. We decide to sit on the sidelines. We decide, I'm just going to watch. I'm good. You do it. I'm good. I'll be back here. I know that there are many times in my life where things have gotten a little crazy. Things have gotten a little risky for me. I know there have been times in my life when I've sat back and watched. I've taken the comfortable seat. But over the last several years, I've really been challenged by the Lord to ask the question, am I truly willing to follow Jesus wherever He may take me? To go wherever He wants me to go. To do whatever He wants me to do. And when I think about this, I always think back to the story of the rich young ruler. If you're familiar with the story, it's found in Luke 18. And I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. But basically, there's this rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, first, Jesus says, well, follow the commands. And he lists off some of the commands. You know, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. You know, obey your father and mother. And the rich young ruler responds, saying, "Oh, I've done these things all my life. I've always followed the commands." But then Jesus says one more thing. He says, "I have one more thing for you. I want you to sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor, then come follow me." And if you know the story, you know that it says he walked away sad because he was a man of too great a wealth. He wasn't willing to do that one last thing. He wasn't willing to give up his riches to follow Jesus. He walked away sad. He stopped playing because it was too crazy. It was too risky. And the interesting thing, it was this scripture that really ultimately changed my life. Because my pastor in Newburgh, when I was a youth pastor there, he shared this story. It had to have been about 7-8 years ago. And it kind of stirred up some things. We even as a staff talked about it in our staff meeting. And it challenged me to ask the question, is there anything in my life that I wouldn't give up? Is there anything in my life, if God said to give up, that I wouldn't give up? And so I began to ask the Lord and to do my best to listen to the Holy Spirit and to obey whatever it was that He asked me to do. And little did I know, a few years later, what He would eventually ask me to do. Most of you know my story. If you're new, the fact is I wanted to be a youth pastor for life. That was my desire. I wanted to be a youth pastor. That's all I cared about. Never wanted to be a senior pastor. But as I opened my heart to the Lord, He asked me something that I never thought He'd ask. And it was at a district conference just a little over 6 years ago. In the midst of one of the sessions, I heard the Lord ask me this question. Are you willing to give up your preferred future to follow me, to do what I have for you? Are you willing, basically what he said is, are you willing to give up youth ministry to become the pastor that I'm calling you to be? And honestly, I got to tell you, at that moment, it was like a dagger through my heart. Here I am, I'm like you, sitting in this massive church with people all around me, pastors and leaders all around me. And as I sat in that room with these people around me, tears just began to roll down my cheeks, because it was at that point that I had to make a decision. I had to answer the Lord. Am I going to stop playing? Am I going to quit playing this game of follow the leader? Or am I going to continue to follow my leader, Jesus Christ? Am I going to listen to the voice of the Lord and do what He's called me to do? Or am I going to walk away sad, like the rich young ruler did? And I'm guessing that there are some of us in this room that have been faced with similar questions in our life. And maybe you've continued to follow Jesus, and maybe some of you have stopped playing. And so the question I think that we all need to ask ourselves is, are we truly following Jesus? Are we willing to give up whatever it is He's asking us to follow Him, to live the life that He's called us to live? Are we followers of Jesus? Are we being discipled and making more disciples? Are we being a team player, partnering with other Christians to see His kingdom extended? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit, being attentive, seeking God's will and desire for our lives, listening to what He's speaking to us? And maybe most importantly, are we then walking in obedience, living the life that He's called us to live? Now, I'm here today because I chose to say yes to the Lord. I chose to continue to follow Him. And guess what? I'm not sad. I always thought I would be if I ever had to senior pastor. But I'm not. Now, doing what I've done, stepping out of youth ministry and walking into senior pastoring, has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Some of the most challenging things. And there were times where I sat there going, seriously, God? This is what you have for me? But then I would see Him come through as I continued to follow Him And I can say today that I'm not sad. It's one of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life because I'm following Jesus and not following Darren. Amen. And that's God's desire for each of our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Acts as we've walked through this series and the amazing men of God and women of God that we've seen throughout this book who, Lord, are willing to give everything to follow you. As we walked through this last year and the things that have happened, I think of Stephen who gave his life, Lord, and many others over the years, these amazing apostles and disciples and leaders would give of their life to follow you, to serve you, to seek your will for their lives, Lord. And so I thank you for the examples that we see, Lord, that they're regular, everyday people, not perfect, not people bigger or better than us, Lord. They're people just like us who simply said yes to following you. And Lord, my prayer is for each of us today that we would simply just say yes to following you, to doing and living the life that you've called us to live, Lord Jesus. And so we just pray over this word this morning, Lord. May you allow those things that you spoke through me this morning to penetrate our hearts, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, whether it's about being a disciple, discipling others, whether it's about being a team player, whether it's about listening and opening our ears to hear you, whether it's about obeying and truly walking out the things that you've told us to walk out, whatever it may be, Lord, may it penetrate our hearts and challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. We want to follow you. We want to serve you. Help us to do that to the best of our ability, Lord. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. We pray them all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.